On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Afternoons with Andy Marr.
And it's lovely to be here, folks, with you on Good Friday. Hopefully you're enjoying some lovely time with the family. Start of the Easter break, of course, and school holidays. And, you know, somber time for a lot of people in the world for who believe in, you know, other things, of course, than footy and cricket and the punt. It's good to have you all with us. And, of course, part of any Good Friday here in Melbourne is the Good Friday Appeal, and everybody here at this radio station, I'm sure, has already donated. I donated at three traffic lights on the way here today until I got every last shekel out of me that I had in the car, and we'll be doing more at home, obviously, a bit later on. To donate to the Good Friday Appeal, go to goodfridayappeal.com.au, drop a coin in a tin or buy a raffle ticket at your local Woolworths store. Look out in your local community for business and groups that support the Good Friday Appeal. It is an unbelievably valuable thing. And any family that has needed to take their kid at any hour of the day, any day of the week, to the kids' hospital knows just how brilliant the people are in that place and what, literally, what lifesavers they can be. So if you can find a dollar or two to donate, please make sure you do. Coon's about to join us. Melbourne Rebels CEO Baden Stevenson. Great start to them. We're all wondering what the Rebels are going to look like with that virtual merged entity this year. Well, it's been a very positive start to their campaign. The CEO is going to join us. New segment today. We're going to kick off fake news. Mars bar. There's a load to get through. The current tally, by the way, the Good Friday Appeal, $2.923 million. Hello, and I can understand it, Kraz. This is the best Good Friday I can remember. Go the mighty Sooners. And, you know, this is the shrine that a lot of us, you know, do bend a knee at. And if you're not a Christian, Adam Cooney, then I've got absolute, and I am, but not necessarily all that devout, but I've got no issues with the game of footy being played to help raise money for the Good Friday Appeal and to be part of, you know, what is a holiday and a day off in a town like ours. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Andy. Yeah, 4:20 game. I think it's a perfect time. You have your morning with the family. You can catch up for lunch with everyone. Do what you need to do. Go to church.
Cook a nice bit of blue grenadier.
Yes.
Some
what did we say before? Some bit of trout.
Bit of smoked trout.
Smoked trout in the afternoon.
Flatted.
Yeah.
Bit of flatted tails.
Nice big eye fillet.
No, not today.
That's wrong, Adam.
Well,
wrong.
You can. Of course you can. But
you know. Yeah, you can do whatever you want, really.
Just do it respectfully. The big fella doesn't mind.
Exactly right.
He has a very big heart.
I like that during the little intro there, how you get stopped at a few traffic lights and you have to donate to... Well, you don't have to, but you want to.
Yes.
You want to donate to the Good Friday Appeal. What? How do you get out of the awkward moment when you reach your third one and you're out of change you've got to try and explain to the person... So, I've already been stopped a couple of times and I've already donated. They just look at you and think, you piece of...
Yeah, tight ass.
How do you get out of that?
Well, I'm up front with them and say, look, sorry, but they've already got me. And they go, no, I know.
They go, sure.
I know they don't believe me. But
they go, sure they have, Andy. Right. Yeah, you tight ass.
And then they get straight on Twitter. Gee, you're not going to believe what that
yeah. How about that, Andy Marr?
It's all the media's fault.
On radio, on for front bar. He's earning millions and can't even give $2 to the kids.
Yeah, not that they know who I always think that I'm Mark Doran. Well, so he cops a lot of heat because of me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for Mark.
No more focus. How are you?
I'm good. Yes, yeah. I'm good. I just received a text message 2 minutes ago.
From Brian?
No, not from Brian. From the lovely wife.
Oh, she's magnificent. I love your wife.
Thank you. So do I. That's why things are...
My wife loves your wife.
Oh, really?
I don't even know if she knows it, but she loves it.
It's even better.
It's not like that.
Oh, okay.
Right. No.
Just got a text message a couple of minutes ago. My son has got long hair, long, beautiful blonde locks, olive skin, blue eyes, nothing like me.
Genuine blonde like your wife or bottle blonde like you were?
No. Genuine blonde and beautiful colour to it. Lovely. And he's got dreadlocks at the back. He's been growing it for... he wouldn't have had a haircut for at least 3 years.
Beeswax?
No, just natural back. Yep. He's got the big, thick dreads. Shaving his head for the Good Friday Appeal today, the young fella. He's 9.
Good on him.
I know, so hopefully...
What's his name?
His name's Jax.
Jax.
Jax, a little fella.
Jax Keller.
Shave his head, and he's gone vegetarian as well.
At nine,
he's decided that he wants to be a vegetarian.
Just for the day, or...
He's lasted a week so far.
Was he a big carnivore sort of type prior?
Yeah.
What made him switch?
Well, this is the thing. About 2 weeks ago, he came down with a bout of gastro. Mm-hmm. Pretty severe. He had it for...
Poor little fella.
Had it for 5 days, so missed a whole week of school. And then, as he started to come good, he decided that he wanted to be a vegetarian. And now, if you even mention the word meat, he has a little twitch in his eye. So I think he might have had some sort of food poisoning from some meat, and he's off it.
Really?
He's a sensitive little soul. Nothing like his old man. He has got a lot of empathy for others.
I don't think that's true about you.
He's a bit... He doesn't like the fact that he's eating animals, to start with.
No, beautiful.
And the second part of it is that, I think after he got a bit crook, he's decided that he's off meat.
The only thing I'd say about the eating animals thing, and I think about this, because there's billboards in around the place at the moment saying, it's not just the chicken's got a life, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
How do the people who say that, and I understand, I'm with, people can do whatever they like, right? But what do they say
though?
Yeah, no, they can, within reason. But what do those people say to the lion in the savannah who needs to hunt and eat an antelope? Do they say to that lion, well, that antelope's got a life, you should be eating a leaf on a tree?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, the lion doesn't know that. It's a meat eater.
Dog eat dog out there, isn't it?
Well, it is for the animals. So, I mean, why should we be made feel guilty about eating a chook?
It's
the pig.
It's the evolution of the food chain.
I hope Jax isn't listening right now, by the way.
Yeah, Jax.
He'll be having a real turn right now if he's listening.
He loves Maccas.
Well, there's no meat.
Most
that's
children
good because there's no meat there.
Well, there's...
Oh, no, I shouldn't
there's
say that. No, there's prime Angus. It's magnificent.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and not even a McNugget.
Superb.
Doesn't even want to eat a nugget. not even 24 McNuggets for $9.95
which
from McDonald's,
unbelievable,
which is a terrific...
Incredible
terrific deal.
Deal
at the moment.
I'll tell you what I will get on the way home from Macca's.
So,
a fillet of fish.
Oh, really?
I'll get a fillet of fish on the way home.
Nah, I'm Subway, man. Foot long for me on the way home.
Well, either.
Meatballs?
Not today, you won't.
Why? They're not open today.
Meatballs?
Mate, why can't I eat meat today? If I'm not a religious man.
It's true, you can. You know this hour is actually brought to you by Subway, don't you?
Yes, I know. So we've made a big mistake. Talking about the other mob. But we will not do that again.
That's a good point. Subway's an excellent idea.
Can I just go back to the point when you were talking about eating animals?
Yep.
So vegans and vegetarians, they don't kill anything. If there's a spider in the house, they place it outside. If there's a cockroach, they place it outside. Yeah. Which is just fine.
Yeah, right? Sure.
What if their kids got nits?
No, you bomb the crap out of those.
Well, they're
not picking every individual nit out.
A nit is a life, isn't it? So if a vegan's kid has nits, they have to let the nits live there. Because the only way to get a nit out is to kill it. Is that right?
Well, I think you're right. So if there's a vegan out there who can explain this to us, what they do with nits...
What do you do if your child has nits?
I'm happy to take a call on that.
And you're a vegan. Do you let the nits live out their days in your children's hair?
Surely not.
Well, you have to.
No.
Then it goes against everything that
they
believe in.
They can't possibly.
Well,
I wouldn't have thought so.
Where do they draw the line? Is it, a nit has feelings. I'm assuming that a nit has feelings.
I wouldn't have thought so.
A nit does not have feelings.
If you're a vegan and you can answer this question, 94291116, and I'll tell you what I will give you, and this is right up a vegan's alley. I got a pair of bamboozled socks here. Comfort, they take comfort level to a whole new level. Am I right in reading this? The bamboozled sock is made out of bamboo. Well, a vegan would love that, would they not?
Oh,
bamboo doesn't have feelings,
100%.
Does it? At David Jones or pussyfootsocks.com.au. That's where you want to go. So if a vegan calls in and can tell us what you do with a knit, I'd like to know.
So we just had a text that said, you're both uneducated, you're spelled incorrectly, you just lost a listener. Well, are we having a... Have we said something?
Well, I don't know. But
I didn't
okay.
say I hate vegans.
That's all right. I'm sure they'll come back. This hour for the $5 Subway 6-inch everyday value range, all day, every day, just $5. Available participating Subway restaurants. It's already 16 past 12. If there's a vegan out there, I want to hear from you.
Oh, they, I thought, just out-hunted us and out-worked us. It's been a characteristic of our play, the way we play the game, but we just got beaten. And I said this last year with our journey, you learn more from your losses than you do your wins, so we'll get to work on some areas of the game that got shown up tonight.
Bit of Damien Hardwick after the loss to the Crows last night. About 10 minutes into that last quarter, Coons, I think we're all on the same page. Bruce was certainly on the same page. He was thinking that Tigers are going to run all over the top of an injured Adelaide side, and the Richmond momentum halted, and the last 20 minutes belonged almost exclusively to the Crows. It was sort of hard to make sense out of it all in the end.
Well, the Crouch brothers out. Matt Crouch, obviously, yes. 13 touches, did the hamstring, so they were a man down. Rory Sloan, injury concern, so they went to 100%.
Daniel Talia.
Yeah, Talia was battling as well. So
the captain first up, he was underdone.
What a win from the Adelaide
Super.
Crows. But people have used the word redemption. It doesn't even go close to the redemption of losing a grand final, but it goes a small margin to the way of repairing a few mental scars, particularly for a player like Josh Jenkins, who didn't have the best grand final, playing on the best defender in the competition, and he had an absolute night out. Alex Rance just didn't know what to do by half time. But he came, actually, to Alex Rance's credit, he had a pretty reasonable second half.
Yeah, started magnificent to after half time.
Intercept the footy and built his game from there. Most players in the competition, if they're getting their pants pulled down at half time, it often goes the other way.
They shrivel up, don't they?
Yeah, Alex Rance. So this goes to show sort of mental fortitude that Rance has as a player. But a great overall performance by the Adelaide Crows. How good's Bryce Gibbs?
He's
as an introduction to their midfield with Brad Crouch out, and also now Matt Crouch out for, looks to be, 2 or 3 weeks. To have Bryce Gibbs there, he's just about their best midfielder.
Gibbs was always a good player at Carlton. He got borderline abused by some Carlton fans because they wanted him to be a different type of player. They wanted to be, you know, crash, bash, get on the back, boys. I'll carry you, you know, over the great ravine on my shoulders. He was never that type of player, and he's playing exactly the same way at the Adelaide Crows as he did at Carlton. It's just that he's surrounded by a better group of players. So what he does seems to be more impactful. This is the way he always was at Carlton. He's just under heaps more pressure at Carlton than he is at the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, and I think they, with the midfield that Carlton had prior to Paddy Cripps coming in, he was expected to be more of an inside player.
That's what
than
they
he
want
is
exactly.
Outside, where he's got a good mix of both. He can win his ball inside, but his real worth and value is that outside of the contest, Matt Crouch or someone in and under getting
spot
the ball
on,
out
mate.
To a Bryce Gibbs and him delivering the ball inside 50. And even his field kicking to open up the ground, those inside kicks. It's just about the best field kick in the competition. Never waste a footy. He's got great poise. And you're right, in a better team, he's just gone up another level. What, he had 35 last week and kicked a couple?
Yeah, he did last week. Last night he's had 28, got on the scoreboard again. He's a quality player. He's a quality player.
What about the kid Fogarty?
Isn't he exciting?
He looks a super prospect.
Oh, mate.
Not worried about the big stage. Uses his body. Big unit. I was watching with Hayley footy last night, and they said something about he's still a teenager. She thought he was 30.
What about them? There was a bit of play in front of the interchange gates where the ball went out of bounds, and it was it Asprey or McIntosh? No, it was number 21.
Townsend.
And Townsend went over the top of him and sort of, you know, wanted to pound him a little bit while he was
got
down.
Got him in a little bit.
Fogarty was in the no-win position and just like the Hulk, just went raw and stood up with, he picked Townsend up and cut, like the strength in his quads and through the hips. He's
big boy.
Powerful.
Big boy. He tried to get him in a half a headlock too, Townsend, and Fogarty said, no thanks, we're out of here.
Isn't that impressive
and
stuff?
And can kick the footy straight.
Thumps it and not afraid to have a shot.
Yeah.
Backs himself when he's got a chance to hit the scoreboard, which is fantastic.
One of your old favourites, Eddie Betts, has he lost his spark?
Just a little bit of something not quite right, I reckon.
Got a couple of good things last night, but it's not the main dangerous three-time All-Australian.
At least.
He's made the last couple.
I reckon he's made the last three.
Seems to be a bit off. He gave away a couple of goals last night. He wasn't. He didn't have an impact on the contest last week either. So just a couple of down weeks for Eddie, which is very unlike him. But as I mentioned about Alex Rance, he's a champion of the game. No doubt he'll bounce back. The Dusty Masterclass.
He was great.
If he kicks five against the Adelaide Crows, you think they'd get the 4 points. But park him at full forward.
There's something about the Tigers Coons that, and this is why I think they crept up on us last year. When they're bad, when their system breaks down, and last night they let themselves down with some sloppy decision making and some poor skill execution. But when it breaks down, they don't. I hope this comes out right way.
Their bottom six look
a bit like bottom six-ish.
Yeah, very bottom
six. Do you know
six.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And we all can, you can decide who they are, but just as a notion, their poorer players look like they can't impact the game the way maybe some others at other clubs might, because they're so system-orientated at Richmond.
They're a sum of all parts.
No, that's a very good way of putting it.
Aren't they? If everyone on that field, they need everyone on the field contributing, and that for the forward pressure is the highlight, or no certainly doubt. Was the highlight of their season last year. When that drops away, their smaller players are out of the game. They look a different team, and they weren't convincing last week. They had their first five kicked on them with six inside 50 entries.
They're playing a good side last week.
Thought they were playing a bottom four side last week. Fought their way back and ended up getting over the top by, I think it was 20.
Credit to the Crows, because we're all off the back of last week. Oh, no, they can't run it out. And they had a few reasons last night not to hit the tape last night that hard. But I think we spent a lot of time talking about the Tigers here, but we should give credit to the Crows. Yeah. It was a good effort by them.
It was magnificent. Yeah. And the way that they move the ball is... is it the best in the competition? It's right up there.
They're
clean. Right up there between deep in defence when they switch the footy. And at times they were patient with the ball as well. They would switch from right on one boundary line all the way to the other, and they end up getting it through, and then it's a quick handball through the middle of the ground, deep into Josh Jenkins, who was having a field day against Alex Rance. His body work last night, Josh Jenkins, if we saw him do that every week, kick 70 goals for the year.
If I told you last night that Adelaide had a bloke sweeping across half back who had 25 disposals, took 7 marks, had 11 intercept possessions, and played 90% of game time from the Adelaide Crows last year, who do you reckon I would have been talking about?
Brody Smith.
Jake Lever would have been the answer I was looking for, just to make my point. Thank you. Jake Lever's the name.
He would have had 30, Brody
Smith. Righto. Exactly. I'm talking about Jake Lever out, Tom Doday, Tom Doday in. Mm. I don't know whether he's the same height. He looks maybe he's marginally shorter than, I'll stand to be corrected, maybe marginally shorter. I haven't looked at the heights and weights than Lever. He plays the role that Jake Lever played for the Adelaide Crows. Now, I don't know whether he's going to go on and be as good. He's in his first year. this kid can play.
Yeah, he's good. And what number? Is he number
39?
He spent some time playing on Dusty Martin as well. I think. So there you go. One out, one in. They found another one. It does help too when your medium-sized defender has had 81 possessions in the first 2 weeks too. Rory Laird, he's had a sensational
start. They tried to tag him last night.
He's an intercept player, but just keeps knocking up getting the footy.
There's a lot of people out there that want to talk about the game last night. There were three incidents out of that game I want your view on, but Ted in Reservoir reckons he saw one of them, and that is the coach and the fan. Ted, were you there last night?
Yeah, I was obviously at the game, and I was standing a couple of rows behind the Adelaide supporter when Zimmer come down, and I think the Crows supporter said a few words that just wasn't on, and to Zimmer's credit, my friend and I were really impressed with how he handled the situation and stood up for himself.
Oh, hear. I'm not potting the coach at all. If you're going to be critical of anyone, you're going to be critical of the 55-year-old bloke who feels like he's entitled to lean over about three seats and get in the face of a bloke in his workplace. I mean, give me a spell, mate. Just park it. You should be better than that.
You're an old man.
Do you know
you're
what
too many Carlton mids.
Do you know what he's? Do you know what he said, Ted?
I do. It's not really all that appropriate for radio. But,
so he swore at him, did he?
I think the worst thing was he almost wore it as a bit of a badge of honour after the situation sort of died down. He had a smirk on his face and obviously...
Pretty happy with his efforts, was he?
Really on good terms with himself, so he needs to have a good hard look at himself.
Probably one of my
members. couldn't agree with you more, Ted. Could not agree with you more.
Damien Hardwick had the... Oh, no, that was Clarko who gave the backhander to the fan on the way back to the hotel.
Was
in Adelaide,
on the bridge,
wasn't it?
Was that on the bridge?
Post game.
Yeah.
So there's been a couple of incidents with coaches. And
there's a lot of people who want to talk about veganism, but before we get there, let's have a few more chats about the footy last night while we're rolling on that. Frankie's on the road. I wanted to talk about this bloke, Frank. I'm glad that you've reminded us to do just that. Far away, mate.
Yeah, just I'm listening to you closely. If you think about it, really, gentlemen, after Jenkins has kicked four goals up until half time and has had no impact on the game whatsoever thereafter, after half time he's only kicked one. So I just want to say that. And the other thing is now, I'm a Richmond supporter and one that I'm not really concerned about it at all. And the comment that you made about their game plan breaking down and their bottom six are no good if it doesn't work, that's the case with every single team because you don't have 22. The other thing I want to say to you is watch that last quarter very, very closely. When we get to within 9 points, not only could I see it, but Wayne Carey, Bruce McAvaney, their comments were, Adelaide's gone. If Ashbury does not make that mistake and clears that ball to the fella who's on the other side of the ground, we were 50 metres in the clear. That's a score, and we win. I'll tell you that now, Jen. Now, we didn't win, and that's fine, but as soon as Walker kicked that goal, the momentum came back to Adelaide. But I wouldn't be, if I was Mr. Don Pike, I'd be very concerned. Secondly, they've got injuries. There's four premiership players missing out of that Richmond team, gents. Four.
Oh, we're not putting the fork in Richmond, Frank. Please, for 1 minute, don't think that we are. No. For goodness sake.
I'd pick the Tigers to go back-to-back this season. But when in the first two rounds of this year, there has been a couple of signs that they're not at their peak as they were last season.
No, let's not get too disappointed about the Tigers last night, but we're just making some observations, Frank, and they may be incorrect and they may be off the mark and clearly you disagree, and that's fine. That's what this is all about.
Speaking to Mitch, our esteemed producer, he doesn't seem to think there's a real... there's no panic stations yet between Tiger fans. I think they're still living...
Playing with the bank's money, mate.
Exactly right. They're still living in the high life after last year's premiership. So.
Michael's in Northcote. You wanted to have a chat about the footy last night, Mick?
Yeah, look, I think the score doesn't reflect how close it was. It was a very high-scoring game, and goals were coming through thick and fast. And without making excuses, I'm a Richmond supporter. I think Riewoldt didn't get a sniff of it. We had about five or six players down, and we only lost by about four or five goals in their cauldron. And I think the umpire was a bit sus without making excuses, but I think we're in good shape considering we had four or five players out also. So I think it's not as bad a loss as it sounds. It's the game felt like it was closer, and they just stabilised it in the last 5-10 minutes. We sort of dropped our heads a bit, probably didn't have much run, being early in the season, probably not sharp as we could be.
I disagree with most of that at
still
all.
Still pretty positive,
yeah, no,
Tigers
no,
fans.
Yeah,
I think
the
most damning stat was, and I disagree with our last caller. I think it was...
Michael.
No, the one about that if Asprey had to turn
Frankie
over, they would have won for Frankie. I think that there was a contested possession count that was a difference in the
smashed
game.
Pole
the
for end, the most.
144 contested possessions to 192 for
without
the Crows.
Without the Crouch brothers, pretty much for...
Yeah, and they had one down and... Richmond did have four players out, but the Crows have got a couple out too. So it was a comprehensive win, I thought. They deserved to win. They ended up winning by six goals. So
good game of footy, mate. Neil's in Adelaide.
Terrific game of
good
footy.
Good game of footy. Neil's in Adelaide. Good afternoon to you, mate.
G'day, guys. Hey, listen, I'll see your four and raise your eight.
Yeah,
players missing.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, off that topic, you know, Eddie occasionally does go off just to prove he's human. You know, all bets are off.
Oh.
Now, the other thing about the chap interfering or whatever he did with Hardwick on the way down.
Yeah,
as an Adelaide Crow fan, I'm disgusted that that happened and it shouldn't happen and the club should follow up with it. March him into Adelaide, blindfold him, put him on the Glenelg tram and play yellow and black all the way to Glenelg to him.
Nice work, Neil. We got out of that one nicely, my friend. Now, Jonathan's on the road. You were very curious about veganism. And you...
Well, you know, specifically
about nits. And we got a lot of text message correspondence, and we appreciate it all. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, boys. Look, I just want to say I've been listening to this program for 6 years, and I've been vegan for 3 years, so I'm in both camps, obviously.
Yep.
Now, the nit thing, it's all about self-defense. No vegans will be against you defending yourself if you're being attacked. And I know it sounds dramatic, but those nits are... they're not going to be healthy for your kid, obviously. So you have to sort of eradicate that problem when it arises, and no vegan is going to be against that.
Okay. So
if you're going out for a walk and you see a snake, you're not going to be like, okay, snake, swallow me whole.
Right.
You have to defend yourself, even if you're
there
a
you
vegan.
Go. Perfect. That's now we're all clearer. Coons, yeah. You don't have to be quite so critical anymore.
So, Jack, are you allowed to kill a spider if you have a real phobia of spiders, or is that your?
I have a phobia of spiders, so I'm working on that at the moment. I mean.
Yeah, you're killing spiders.
I'm trying to capture them, but it's still a work in progress.
Good on you, Jonathan.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Jackie wants to have a chat about veganism as well before we go to the break. Those pesky nits, Jackie. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, so look, I agree with that first caller. If my child is in danger, which nits can cause harm, I'm obviously going to get rid of them. I'm not going to keep them in her hair. So I agree with the first caller. If it's in harm to you, you've got to defend yourself. That's nature.
Of course it is. Makes total sense to all of us, Jackie. So we're better for that brief and very important education that we've just received.
Exactly right. That was just all my questions have been answered.
My word, they have. From Billy O, I'm a vegan and I had nits. I spent 2 weeks catching every one of them, and now they are my pets. I even named them all, and I have a tiny little dog lead for my favourite one, and I take him for walks to the park. I named him Coons. I love it. Now, quickly, before we get to your thing that you brought in today, Josh Caddy for the swinging arm on David Mackay.
Nothing to see here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a football act. It's happened to me 20 times at least in my career. It would have happened to every AFL player at least a handful of times in their careers.
So you reckon no problems, no reckless. Mackay goes off the ground. Mackay goes off the ground, doesn't come back. So he's been severely injured or injured enough.
It's unfortunate for David Mackay.
What about...
You can see on the angle where the camera is directly behind Josh Caddy, he puts the left arm up to try and swat the Sharon away. And the incidental contact happens post that because he misses the ball.
Extraordinary.
That's just...
Toby...
These things happen in football, mate.
If we put out a poll, I reckon you would be in the minority.
That is... I'm regularly in the minority. Toby, nothing new for me.
Toby Nankervis.
I think that Toby Nankervis will be assessed as low impact, careless, and he'll get a fine.
Fine. I think you're probably right. If anything, he'll get a fine for sure.
Yep.
He did
have the capacity to do some damage, though.
Here, no question. Potential. Horrible. Jack Redpath. Extraordinary, this, with
the
Western Bulldogs.
What's happening at the kennel?
So he's suspended, and there's games of footy you can't play in when suspended, and he's played in a game that he shouldn't have played in, so he's copped an extra week. That's the situation.
How?
With Jack Redpath.
Who's running the joint down there?
That's a strange
mistake to make. Is Clippo still running it? Mark Kimpton or Ben Graham? He's doing he does the VFL. What's going on They're into year two of the Premiership hangover at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's an elementary blue.
They've got Easton Wood playing down forward, and they've got their suspended players playing in the VFL.
So you're saying Easton Wood should go down the other end of the ground?
Please.
Okay. Jack Silvani, you surprised the Blues pulled the pin on him for tomorrow's game against the Gold Coast Suns?
Well, we talked about this one last Friday, the Thursday night game. We talked about his attributes, we don't know where he fits at the moment. Mm. He doesn't have the blistering speed. Doesn't quite have the size and the body strength to be a midfielder. Some people have called for him to play at half back, but we've got Wiedering, Plowman, and Marchbank down there, Liam Jones, so there's no spot for him down there. I'm not surprised they dropped him, no. I think he's got a bit to work on at VFL level but he'll get better. We'll give him some time.
Now, something happened. It was a tough day, so we'll talk about it more after 1 o'clock. We'll play everything, and you can, if you've missed any bits and pieces of the various press conferences that were held yesterday and another traumatic and turbulent day in Australian cricket, we'll replay, bits and pieces for you after 1 o'clock. But the Steve Smith press conference, which was harrowing, it was very, very difficult to watch, and he's clearly been profoundly affected by what he's gone through physically and, mentally. his press conference was interrupted by some fool I've never heard of for an idiotic radio show that runs on an FM station up in Sydney.
We apologise for playing the audio, yeah, but it leads into the next.
It sets up. This is what this clown said to Steve Smith in the middle of a profoundly difficult press conference last night.
Steve, I'm going to take a different tact on this. My name's Intern Pete from the Kyle and Jackie O show here, mate. I want to let you know I'm from the perspective from non-sports community and Australians. To see you upset tonight is very sad. We asked our listeners, as I said, we're not a sports show. We asked our listeners what we thought about this. And we have, we opened up to them. And mate, I've got to tell you, hold your head high for a little bit for what you have done. Because what's actually been worse is what Davina and Dean did on Married at First Sight. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay.
Thank you.
Imbecile should never be allowed anywhere near a live microphone again.
Never again.
And if Steve Smith cops a year for what he did, that radio show should be off the air for a month. And I'm dead set about this.
There should be a broadcasting tribunal.
Oh, they're not on air for a month. That clown is a representative of your radio show. Your radio show is off for a month. Ta-da, see you later, not on.
Delivery was poor, timing was poor, joke was poor, everything about it was poor. It was just me. It wasn't even a question, it was just a statement. But it did lead me to do some research this morning about the worst questions that journalists have posed to some sports stars. So we've got some audio here, and we'll start with the first one. This is Yale versus Baylor.
City got out-rebounded. I was surprised. You did. 36-32. How does Yale out-rebound Baylor?
You go up and grab the ball off the rim when it comes off, and then you grab it with two hands. You come down with it, and that's considered a rebound. So they got more of those than we did.
He's a brilliant answer.
Ask a stupid question. Well, and a stupid answer.
The question wasn't that stupid, but it was just such a great answer.
This is our man Shaq with a great comeback.
Shaq, let's just say that a snake bit your mom right up here, right in the chest area. Would you be willing to suck the venom out to win the title?
No, but I will with your wife.
Thank you, Shaq.
Shaq just goes bang. Oh, good relationships that players have the USA media.
They do.
They're better than that. You wouldn't get that from an NFL player.
No.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell, did you guys lose this game or did the Jazz win this one?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man? Bro, I'm out, man. I'm tripping.
Did you guys lose this game or did the Jazz win it?
Well, it's not that. That's great. I know what he means, but that guy's effing tripping. Well, that's just brilliant. They just get away with anything over there.
This is Kyrie on LeBron being a parent figure.
Tristan called LeBron a great father after the Chicago game. So what type of parental role has he played for you and your teammates, LeBron?
Oh, okay. So you... parental role?
You're not my dad!
LeBron, Kyrie's papa. That's good. This is from the AFL archives. This is Ross Lyon just getting a bit fired up with Shane McInnes.
Ross, we saw a number of quiet plays go down off the ball. Was there a message before the game you wanted your players to be physical at all times, or was that...
Well, I'm not sure what you're alluding to. Are you talking about Dockers players or Geelong players?
Geelong players. Sorry, Geelong
well,
players.
I think you're out of line because what I saw some Dockers players go down off the ball.
I'm sure there were as well, but did you have a message to your players in particular?
What do you think?
I don't know. You tell me, you're the coach.
Well, I just think it's a silly question. Okay. We play within the rules. What's your name?
Mine.
Yeah.
Shane.
Shane who?
McInnes.
Okay, that's the best question you can come up with after 2 hours of footy. You're quite brilliant, Shane. Yeah, terrific. Yeah, just go to Behind the Goals Vision and have a look. We'll see what comes out. Terrific, Shane.
My favourite bit of that is, what's your name? Mine. Yeah, you. Yeah. Shane.
He can cut you in half better than anyone, that bloke.
Yeah, this is a long-winded question to John Longmire. He doesn't even answer the question, but it's outrageous about Buddy Franklin.
John, it's not the first time Lance has been involved in a car accident, and as you say, this could have potentially been a lot worse than it was previously in Melbourne. He was involved in a car accident there as well. And there also seems to be other issues in relation to driving this car. Are you going to look further into that in terms of where he's going with this car?
What he expecting John Longmire to say? Yeah, look, I'm going to take Buddy out in the Jeep Grand Cherokee after this. Take him into the car park, teach him to reverse parallel. It was just such a long-winded question that went absolutely nowhere. Now, this is Channel 7 post-game. A bit frosty between Richo and Mick Malthouse.
We're still bemused and disappointed that we don't know exactly some of the things that are going on out there. But having said that, the boys had a go.
What do you mean? What are you bemused at?
What would you think I mean, Richard? What would you really think I mean? So we're going to lose our captain now with a facial break from to the head. That's only one incident where we didn't get a free kick. So I'm just a little bit confused. A little bit confused with a few things. But I can't take anything away from the boys, and I certainly won't take anything away from Hawthorn. They're a wonderful football side, and they're a benchmark, and we've got to reach that.
So are you concerned about the bump between Hodge and Murphy?
I'm concerned more about the fact that the colour of the doctor's uniform is the same as us. We kicked it to him twice. So I'm just a little bit confused and concerned that we don't get the colours right.
Richo don't like it when he gets rusty.
You've got to see Richo's expression after that one on the. You can YouTube it.
He likes it just being a bit friendlier, a bit lighter. Richo, God love him. He don't like it when he gets a frosty Mick Malthouse on the other end.
You don't need that sort of confrontation when you're just holding the mic in front of.
No, you don't.
Big Mick. This is a classic. The ruck stock's depleted at the Dogs.
Oh, this is the best.
Luke Beveridge was asked a question about to bring the great man back in.
Would you consider bringing in Will Milson to support the other ruckman, Campbell?
It's going to be tough, mate. He's retired.
He's retired.
That's quality.
Everyone can make that.
I think that was the same journo from the Kyle and Jackie
show. No, it wasn't. No, everyone can make that blue.
Nah, yeah. Spot on. Now, it's not just limited to silly questions.
Have we got time for this one?
Sometimes, on the odd occasion, there is journo v journo feuds that occur.
Oh, yeah.
None bigger than this.
Oh, no.
This is the football equivalent, according to Andy Marr, of how a bill becomes a law.
This is classic crisis management 101. When you're in trouble...
Oh, how so?
When you're in trouble, you just do what Essendon's done. You've had nothing but bad news thrown at you for two or three days about the Wangaratta fiasco. What do? You get one of your journos who's on side, Robbo. You give him a little story. Not a fair income story just yet, because they haven't signed the deal. But you say, Robbo, if you want to go with something, we're very close with Michael Hurley. Any chance you can get that in the paper tomorrow? Lo and behold, back page, Essendon suite.
You are a wanker, Andy Marr.
That's a withering response from the big fella.
Never has Robbo been spot on.
No, he's another one here.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I lost.
You lost?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what happened out there?
Mais qu'est-ce qui s'est passé? Sur le court. Are you serious?
No.
Did you watch the match?
No, I didn't. I was told that you won. I'm sorry.
No, je l'ai pas vu. On m'avait dit que vous aviez gagné. En français, s'il vous plaît.
It's probably best you get that right.
Yeah.
That was Nicholas Mahut.
Maybe watch the game.
You want to get that right if you're going to go to the press conference.
Roll into the presser.
Know something about what happened in the match.
What are you doing throughout the game?
Hambones loved it.
Hambone.
Oh. He's loved it. Hambone's loved it. Happy to have been of service, Hambone. Who wins tonight, Coons? North Melbourne, St Kilda.
St Kilda, Seb Ross, 35 plus.
No change to us. I'm going to be with you on Sunday, am I not? We for AFL Nation calling that
game
of footy?
Yes, we'll have a comprehensive preview before the game starts.
We're very comprehensive. I'll see you then. Have a great Easter to you and your family. Good luck to your little fella.
And you, Andrew.
And just cut him a bit of slack with the hair, okay? He's doing a good thing.
I will. He is. He's a good little kid.